Welcome back, guys. Doing another podcast today, and today's podcast is an interview with yours truly. Yeah, so I'm going to be interviewed by Nikki. She's going to be asking a few questions, and I'm just going to be talking about myself, my martial arts journey, and how I got here, where I come from, all that kind of thing. So if you want to know nothing about me, tune out now. But if you want to know some more, then keep listening.
I love it. I thought this would be a really good one to do. I think that obviously you've been a huge part of the growth of martial arts for you. And for you guys that don't know, Jack started with us. Well, we got together nearly 7 years ago. We'd literally just opened Selby, so the third gym.
I helped open Selby.
Yeah.
Because I was in there when it was just a concrete shell.
Yeah.
When you took it over from Mickey's.
Yeah.
Boxing gym, and it was just a concrete shell. And I remember helping out build it and put the insulation in upstairs and knock some walls down and helped build Selby.
You literally did. So it's been years. It's been a long time. But let's start like right at the beginning. Where were you born? No, I'm joking. I think that to start with, it would be good to just know a little bit of background about where you've come from. Obviously, I know that we have touched on briefly in one of the other podcasts, kind of your journey, but I think it'd be nice to go into a bit more detail about your journey so far.
As in, like, life or martial arts?
I think these guys would like to know a little bit of both. Do you know what I mean? I think that your life and the journey that you've been on, even just before you started martial arts or before you started martial arts, is part of your journey. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think these guys would probably love to hear more than just the martial arts.
When it all started on the 5th of October 1996, and I was born, I moonwalked out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
I moonwalked
out
of the womb. They never saw that before. But yeah, I moonwalked out the womb. And my life was just, you know, a young baby's life. I've got friends now that I had when I was 1 and 2 years old. My best friend, I've known him since I was literally unable to speak or walk or anything. But we knew each other then, and we're still best friends now.
Not many people have that.
No, I've got a few friends like that. And I've got a few friends that I've known for literally my entire life. We've got photos when we were 2, you know, in nappies and stuff like that. And I count myself as a good friend and a loyal friend, and that's why we're still friends, all of us from there. Grew up in Rothwell, which is in Leeds. It's a little town in Leeds. Really nice place, lovely area. And like I say, some great people.
So did you live there, like, when you were...
Yeah, my whole life.
Oh, wow. Okay, so your whole life.
I've been in two different houses in Rothwell as a child, but I've lived there my whole life. I grew up around there.
And all your friends kind of lived there too? And...
Yeah, majority of them.
Because the mums were all friends, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of mums were friends, and then some of them didn't even know each other. So my friends, the parents didn't even know each other.
Of course, yeah.
But just, you know, through school and activities and stuff like that, then you get to know people.
And what were you like at school?
So at school, I was really well behaved. I was a good kid.
He was gifted and talented. He made sure I never forget that one.
I was a good kid. I was smart. I was good at all the stuff like maths, writing, reading, everything. I used to read all the time. Like, I probably read more books until I was 12, 13 years old than I have since. By a long, long way.
What was it about reading that you enjoyed? Was it like a specific thing?
I just like to know stuff.
Education.
As I was younger, I always thought my dad was the smartest person in the world. And, you know, you'd ask him any question and he'd have the answer for the question.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, okay, I want to know stuff. I want to know, but I like factual stuff as well.
Yeah.
So I like to know things for certain.
Yeah.
Just as a person, that's who I am. I don't like all the fluff of things, so I'm not as good with I'm not as creative. I'm more black and white with certain aspects of it, and I know you're kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
So you're incredibly creative, then it's just different personalities, isn't it? I suppose
it is, 100%.
But yeah, school was great. I was always well behaved. I was always my parents would always remark that I was not as well behaved at home.
No.
Let's put it that way.
Don't get any ideas, you guys that are listening.
I was very well behaved at school and in public.
That's when you know that. That's what they say to a parent, don't they? That you know you've raised a good child when they're great for everybody else.
Yeah, I was good. And I did well at school. I enjoyed school. I like going to school. I like learning. I like seeing my friends. I like all the activities. I played rugby and football as a kid.
Yeah.
They were my two things that I did.
Is there anything that you struggled with at school?
Not really. I mean, I enjoyed it. Sometimes, one thing at school, so like let's divide school into three sections. One was, not primary, what's one before that? Nursery school is what ours was. I struggled with my hearing in nursery.
Okay.
I had hearing problems, still do sometimes, but I had hearing problems and I had to go get grommets. Which are like these little things that they put into your eardrum that eventually dissolve away, but they fix your hearing for a little while.
Okay.
And I remember before that, I was struggling with hearing. And then after that, it was a lot better, but it was very painful when I first got back into school because everything was so loud. So obviously, I'd not been hearing stuff properly.
And how old, around about how old
like
are you?
Five, six, something like that.
And do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember because it was so painful. On the first day back, I was like, crying because it was so painful, you know,
so
actually
loud.
Hearing things properly for the first time.
Wow.
So it's pretty, that was one of the painful things at school. Yeah. Oh yeah, on my first ever day of primary school, that's year three to year six, one before that.
Primary's reception, year one, year two, year three.
No, we call it something different. Might be
oh,
nursery.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nursery is like before school.
Yeah, it was reception, year one, year two, that
yeah.
one. So
we class that as primary, but yeah. On
my first day of reception in the playground, being a social butterfly and all that, and I've befriended these two girls that were in year two.
Yeah.
And I learnt loads of swear words on the first day.
I come home
telling my mum all these swear words that I learnt on the first day. That was great. That was my first day at school, literally. I was like, Mum, look what I learnt. Beep, beep. Yeah, so I was really proud of them. And obviously they got a great reaction, so I started to say them quite a bit.
No.
But yeah, that was at school. And then, like, the school was fine. I was good at all the stuff. It was good.
What about secondary? So when you were older.
You mean high school?
High school, yeah.
So, high school. Yeah, high school was good. Met some new friends. Some friends that I good friends with now. Like, I enjoyed it again. I enjoyed school.
When did you start martial arts?
When I was 19.
19,
so you'd
have been in college.
I never even knew about martial arts as a thing. I wish I knew about it as a kid. Like, I really wish I'd have done it. Because it's so cool. I didn't even, like, know it existed. Do you know what I mean?
You know,
like, people who do it just, oh, yeah, everyone knows about martial arts. We'd think, oh, everyone knows about martial arts or kickboxing
or something.
And, like,
Valentina. Like, that's going to be in her life.
Yeah, of course they know about it. Why wouldn't they? But I literally had no clue as it was even an activity. I didn't, you know, see it on TV. None of my friends did it. I didn't know at all about martial arts. So it was not even on my radar.
Although, to be honest, think about it. Like, if I think about people, like, I went to school with, no one did martial arts either.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I was kind of, I don't think I can say the only one because I don't know for sure, but in my mind I was the only one. Like, it wasn't a popular thing.
No, I think it's grown in popularity, which is great. I think it's got so many amazing benefits for people.
I think things like Conor McGregor and Cobra Kai and things like that are really helping.
It's grown in the psyche of the common person. I don't mean common in a bad way, but like common as in more of the people are understanding of what it is because it gets popular because of some polarising figure like Conor McGregor or Anthony Joshua or something like that. I did a little bit of boxing when I was like 13.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to run to the boxing. I used to get dropped off at the boxing gym and then run home, which is like 4 or 5 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a Hunslet Boxing Club. And then I did that for about 6 months, but they wouldn't let me spar, so I got bored. I just wanted to fight, but they didn't let me do that. So I did that for about 6 months.
Okay, cool.
But that's my only martial arts, really, that I did as a kid. Everything was just rugby. And rugby's wrestling, so I'm good at wrestling, and I like physical contact.
You love rugby. When did you start rugby, then?
When I was tiny.
When you were tiny? Well,
probably
you
about
did that.
Six.
And when did you stop rugby?
About 16.
Oh, wow. So
I had a few years off for football in between, but about 16 I stopped. And I stopped because they disbanded our team, which is when you get to a certain age, about 15, 16, the really good players get signed by academies or by people who they take it a bit more seriously, so they go to a proper club. And then there wasn't enough of us left to keep playing. So I went to the age group above. And this was at Ulton Raiders as well, and they were pretty good, the age group above. And I fit in with them. And then they got disbanded because a similar thing happened. And I went to open age, so I was in like year 11. So I was about 15, 16. And I was a prop forward at rugby. So I was basically, a prop forward is the hefty guys at the front of the pack that basically, my job was to get the ball, run it forward as hard as I can, and then when people run at me, hit them as hard as I can. That was my full, that's simplifying it, but that's the basic job of a prop forward. Just cause damage by running in straight lines and, you know, tackling people and hurting them and all that sort of good stuff.
It's a great, like, experience for you starting martial arts, in a sense, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah, you just get tough from doing it. You get seriously tough. I remember one game we were playing, we had to, it was frozen ground, and we had to, like, dig out the top of the ground in order to play. So that was the warm-up. We were, like, stamping the ground with our feet and digging it with spades and stuff. It was, like, freezing in the middle of winter. I'm sure we made it worse because we just made it, like, scratchy. But we played anyway. It was great fun. But, yeah, so then I moved up to the open age. But that's, like, playing against full-grown men. You know, like, people that prop forward, like, 20 stone. Yeah. Like, tanks.
Yeah,
like, tanks.
You weren't moving them.
It was a bit hard then. It was a bit tough. I wasn't tough enough for that, to be honest with you, because it was quite full on. I was about 16 and I was playing against 30-year-olds and, you know, quite hard men.
So from like 16 to 19, because 19 you started martial arts.
Yeah, I basically didn't do anything. I just did a bit of gym. Did a bit of gym. I mean, I was out with my friends a lot. I just socialised instead. Yeah. That was kind of what I did.
In your spare time. Point.
Yeah, that was my spare time. I didn't really have a focus going to an activity at that point. It was more like social group sort of things that I did with my friends.
So then what made you start martial arts?
Well, one of my mates, he was saying, oh, I go do MMA, go do this thing. And the Conor McGregor was getting big at the time. So I was watching Conor McGregor's fights. Cool. And my mate was like, yeah, I'll go to MMA, I'll go do this, go do that. So after a few months, I was like, oh, can I come join you? So he used to drop us off. Well, his dad or mum used to drop us off at the club. And it turned out to be Leeds Martial Arts in Morley with Paul Lynch. And it wasn't MMA, it was kickboxing.
So you weren't long doing martial arts when we met?
No, a few months, really.
Wow. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we were nearly 20. Sorry, we were nearly 20. I was nearly
20. You were nearly 20.
Yeah, of course.
So my first fight was, like, November. So I turned 19 in October. Yeah. And my first fight was November. The following month, yeah, that's when I turned 19. But I think only a few months where I'd started, and then I had a fight.
God. You're only, like, a purple belt, or...
No, I think it was like a yellow belt, orange belt when I had my first fight.
When I met you, I'm thinking.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So that'd probably add up about that, yeah.
And then I beat you up and...
I don't think that's ever
happened. Anyway, we're not quite there yet. But yeah, so you started...
Yeah, so I just went along with him. And then when I passed my driving test, then I used to drive us and we used to go down together.
Nice.
And just started there, just had fun, enjoyed it, loved it. And it really, I don't know, opened up something where I could have that competition again, and that physical competition against other people. I really liked it, really enjoyed it, and you push yourself, but you're also learning something new. Like, you can actually, you know when you're getting better, you can feel when you're getting better because you're doing techniques right and you get more power into them, or your kick actually moves somebody, or you're actually causing impact when you're hitting a bag or when you're doing the pads or when you're sparring. Like, you have that like positive feedback loop where you know you're getting better at something, and I felt myself getting better. And around this time as well, so when I'd started, just when I started martial arts, my grandpa had died, and he was like the most important person in my life to me at that point. He was my idol, looked up to him. He was an amazing person, you know. He built his businesses and done all this stuff, and just he'd done so well in his life. and lost it all, by the way. He'd done really well and lost it all multiple times. So I don't think that he was super, super rich. Like, if he didn't lose it all, you know, my family could be all hell of a lot better off. But he's got that streak in him like I have. He's got that risk-taking streak in him, and he took some risks, and, you know, and that's what ended up happening.
Take the risk or lose the chance.
He took some risks. But I respect him even more for it, because he's not somebody to play it safe. He wasn't somebody just to be like, okay, well,
he built that.
So where my grandma lives, he built that house and the entire street as well.
Which is so weird, because my uncle built my grandma's house and the entire... I just think that's weird. Sorry,
yeah,
I just think it's so...
Isn't it?
It's like, that doesn't happen to many people's family members. The fact that our grandmas both live
in the houses that our family built them.
Yeah. And the whole street too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... Oh, I don't know.
It's pretty weird.
It's just weird. but I know how much he meant to you.
So he died, and then on the night that I found out, it was a big shock as well. Because he was a bit poorly, and then like 2 days later he was dead. I was like, oh well, that was a bit of a shock. You know, I didn't really get a chance to process it.
It's not like he went downhill.
No,
you knew it was coming.
Just immediate. So then obviously with that big role model and the pain of that, I basically, well, on the same night I went training, because I didn't know what else to do. I was on my way to go training. I was literally bag packed, kit on, ready to go. And my mum told me, because she'd just come in, that's her dad, and obviously she's crying, and I hugged her and we consoled for a little bit, and it was, I just didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So I just went training, and while I was there, I didn't tell anybody, but nothing was any different. It was just like a normal training session. Everyone was positive who I was speaking to. It was a great environment for me to just forget about it for a bit, and to just plow myself into something positive. And that what also that was one of the, like, formative things that made me stick at it, that made me think, right, okay, this is something good, because I just transformed a whole load of negative energy into positive energy, in like straight away. Do you know what I mean? Straight away turned a negative into a positive. So I thought, this is something that I'm going to continue to do, and just kept on doing, and I loved it, and then trained more, because I could either go one of two ways, really, with all that negative energy. And this is same for anybody. You can go the self-destructive, you know, doing things to harm yourself and doing things that are going to deal with the pain that are actually make you worse off. Stuff like drinking alcohol or taking drugs or things that are eating loads of food to make yourself feel better, you know, closing yourself off from other people and not socialising. These are all negative things that we all know are negative, but people do them anyway. But I chose to try do something positive with all that pain, and try do something great with all that pain instead. And I just dove into martial arts and dove into fighting, and that's what I did.
It helped you through, would you say, one of the hardest parts of your life?
Definitely. Well, I'd definitely say it helped me through one of the hardest parts of my life, like emotionally tough. Like, it wasn't physically tough. Like, I had a roof over my head. My life was, I had a car, I had great people around me. It wasn't physically hard.
But it was someone you
loved. But it was emotionally and spiritually very tough, you know, dealing with, okay, I'm never going to see this person again. You know, you always used to go to them for advice, or you always used to have good talks, and you've grown up with them and it means so much to you. And dealing with that is something that martial arts helped me with enormously, and I know that it can help other people with it too, which is one of the reasons why I choose to do this, and that I choose to talk about it so positively. And I think everybody can benefit from doing it, no matter who you are, what age, where you're from. Don't matter. I think you can all benefit from it. So that's what got me started, really.
Wow, speechless. Now it's crazy how a sport, something that people view as just a sport, becomes such a large part, and I want to use the word like savior, but you know what I mean. I know it didn't like save your life, but
I wasn't going to be a smackhead going rooting through the bins for rubbish. It wasn't going to be that bad, But my life definitely
could. What made you go to that?
No, like, I get what you mean. Like, that's like, you know,
a bottom.
You know, that's good. Like the worst you could be in life. You know, root for the bins for rubbish, and everybody knows objectively that's a terrible situation. Mm-hmm, you're addicted to heroin, all that sort of stuff. Now, I don't think it would have ever got that bad.
Yeah.
But I was definitely on a path, a slippery slope, downhill into negativity and other things that really would have meant that my life would have had a different trajectory. And if I didn't have martial arts as the positive thing, then I really don't think I would be where I am right now, and I wouldn't be doing anything as good as what I'm doing right now. And it could have quite easily gone the other way.
I get you. So you started martial arts, your grandpa passed away.
Mm.
What was next on that journey?
Fighting, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think fighting. I started fighting and I loved it. I wanted to do it straight away. And I'll tell you about my first sparring session as well. So my first sparring session was, you know James Fletcher?
Yeah.
So that was my first spar against James. And James...
He's a big guy.
James is a big lad, isn't he?
He's a big lad.
And at this point, obviously, I'd never had a fight. I'm just learning all that stuff. But I'm asking every session, when can I spar? When can I spar? You know, I'm pestering. And so I eventually get to spar with James, like, on a Saturday morning. And James, at this point, I think my mate Ben was there. And he said, oh, James has been on this, like, 17-fight unbeaten streak. He's winning all his tournaments. And he was doing really good. He was a very good martial artist, black belt and all that. And I went to spar him. And I was so nervous, obviously. He's bigger than me, stronger than me, better than me. Yeah, literally.
You were the underdog.
Yeah, literally. And I remember just being so nervous that I absolutely cracked him with a right hand. Like, really cracked him. Water in his eyes, all sorts.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he just beat me up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he literally just whooped my ass all around the ring, bouncing off the ropes, kicking me in the head, spin kicking me.
You want to hit me hard? I'm going to hit you hard back.
Absolutely whooped me. Like,
that's the rule in sparring, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think people forget that. They're like, even if you're a beginner, like, you hit people the way you want to be hit back.
If you hit somebody hard, you've got to be prepared to take it.
And you can't say anything about it.
No, I wasn't complaining. I was taking it. I was fine. I was fighting back. You know, fighting more on instinct than skill at that point. But I remember he got kicked out of the gym because of it. Because he was like, it was literally beating me up.
Oh.
And obviously I'm a raw novice. It was literally my first ever sparring session, and he's absolutely like whooping me. Like, badly whooping me. And he didn't stop. Like, so, because obviously I cracked
him. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. It's just because you cracked him.
I proper cracked him. And I was fighting back at that point. I wasn't just a target, I was fighting back.
And then
he was just a bit better than me, so I don't really do him much successfully. I'm not going to front. But yeah, then he came out of the gym. But he came back in later in a few months or a couple of years. I can't remember which one it was. And we're good friends to this day.
He left for a little while.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, he got kicked out because it was. Like, imagine, like, let's say, imagine I've got one of our fighters, Finlay Lorimer, okay, experienced, black belt, doing all this, blah, 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 and he is sparring a new red or yellow belt.
Yeah.
And the red or yellow belt cracks him, and Finn beats him up.
Yeah,
like,
I get
like,
that,
kicks
yeah.
seven shades of poop out of him.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying, Finn, stop, and he doesn't. And
right,
he keeps beating him up.
Yeah,
and
then
I have to get in the ring and drag him off him, basically.
Oh, what? Did he
Yeah. So it was... Yeah, so that was my first sparring session.
So it went well.
But I loved it. I was like...
I loved getting my ass whooped.
Honestly, it was great. Yeah. But me and James, even on that day, I was like, mate, I haven't got no problem with you. I'm fine. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm not bothered.
And that's when you knew that... You loved it.
Well, I knew I could take a good shot as well, which is important. I knew I wasn't going to back down in the face of potential, you know, potentially not winning or potentially getting hurt. I was like, bring it on.
Yeah.
So then all the others, that gave me confidence, you know, that hard lesson gave me confidence. So all these people who were like, oh, maybe I shouldn't actually get hit too hard in sparring, or maybe it's not good for, you honestly.
This person's a bit bigger or more experienced.
Yeah, you need to go through that pain.
Because if you can really get hit by... Do. I used to think that when I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. I was in the adult class. There was a few women in there, but not many. Do you know what I mean? I'd be sparring fully grown men.
Mm.
But my God, when I went and competed and got hit by a 55 kilo girl, I'd be like, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I, most sparring sessions at Acom, I swear it ended with me in tears, but I loved it. Do you know what I mean? And it does toughen you up, doesn't it? 100%. And it builds that confidence. It's like, I can take a hit from you, then I can take a hit from
exactly.
from somebody my own way.
That was my first sparring.
Wow.
And then I just carried on. Just carried on fighting and sparring and winning.
And then we met.
We did, yeah. We met at Mr. Lynch's.
We did?
Yeah.
God.
Do you want to tell that story?
No, it's all about you.
Oh, okay. How long have we got? Because I could keep talking.
I bet people will like listen to this. I think we can go over the 30 minutes.
All right, prepare for a 4-hour talk. Yeah, I'm joking. But no, yeah, we met, obviously, you and Mr. Lynch and Craig, you know, Paul had taught Craig and Mark, you know, a lot of what they know.
Yeah.
And therefore, that great relationship meant that them guys used to bring over their team to us. So you guys came over to us, you know, Long's Black Belt Schools came over to LMA. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen you at one of the sessions, and I was like, right, who's that? So I asked Mr. Lynch, like, who's that?
Did you ask Mr.
Yeah,
Lynch?
I was like, who's that? Nicky Pratt. And then a few months later or something, there was going to be a fight night at Mr. Lynch's gym at LMA.
Mr. Lynch was training me, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Mr. Lynch trained you a little bit, doing like PTs. And I remember I was fighting as well on the same show, and I remember him saying, oh, we're going to have an extra training session like tomorrow. I'm going to be training with Nicky Pratt and some other people. And I was like, can I come down and train with Nicky Pratt? And he was like, yeah, why not? You two, you should, it'd be good training together. So I was like, yeah, bet, on it. All right, see you there. So I just came down and trained, and I was definitely showing off for you when I got there.
You were.
And I was like doing loads of press ups, like loads of stuff in the warm up I would never usually do, like just like lifting stupid weights and doing all sorts of burpees and loads of exercise and just showing off basically.
You knew
young
the
kid.
Way to my heart.
Yeah, I was just showing off. And then we had a session and some sparring and stuff as well.
I wish we had that video.
Where is it?
I don't know. My mum recorded it. I should look at her phone.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was like the first time we met.
Yeah, yeah. I'd never met you before that.
And I think we'd been in the same room.
Yeah, but
not.
I'd never introduced myself or like that.
And I remember us like talking at the end, and you were quite charming. I remember saying to my mum, because at this point I was in another relationship, so I was not in that way, do you know what I mean? Because I'm a very loyal person. But I remember saying to my mum, because this relationship wasn't a good relationship, and I remember saying to my mum on the way home, that why is it that somebody that I've literally just met treats me better and talks to me better? God, that's crazy. Oh, as if that was like, that would be like about 7 years ago.
Because
then, obviously, I'd split up with him, and then you slid into my DMs.
Yeah, as it was. I was just offering a friendly, supportive, you know, hope everything's okay, all that sort of stuff.
And then I was training at, I kept coming to Mr. Lynch's. I think that's because I wanted to see you.
Yeah, you kept coming, didn't you?
I did, I kept coming to Mr. Lynch's. And then you kissed me in the toilet.
I know.
It's a bit of inside goss for you guys. I'd gone to the toilet and Jack follows me.
That was
our first kiss. Our first kiss was in Mr. Lynch's toilet.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, Mr. Lynch. It was. Oh, God. Yeah. And then...
Just went from there, didn't we?
Yeah.
So now then, we've got this business. Now we've got a house. Now we've got a baby.
Yeah, what's next?
So you got to chase after what you want, guys. You know, if you really want something, go for it.
Yeah, every time.
So yeah, anyway, enough about us.
Yeah, back to you. I've had a few people ask me about that, though. And I've always said, it's just never the time to speak about it, is it?
Not like, really.
Speak about how we met and stuff like that. But through
martial arts. 100%. And we both had that. You know, that positive fat part of it. And at this point, I think you were doing Haxby and Cop, weren't you? You were teaching your own clubs. You just started your own clubs. And that also inspired me, because I was at a point where I was in college. So at A-levels, I dropped out of my A-levels after the first year, just did my AS.
And I did as well, which again, I think is so weird. I did. We both went to sixth form, didn't like it.
And
then both went to college.
Like it. And I went to do college. I went to Ask and Brian to do landscaping. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that point, I was like in my last year, I believe.
Yeah.
And you had just started your businesses. And I was thinking, what am I going to do in my life after I've finished college? Like, I need to do something. And I was like, I might set up my own business. And you inspired me and you helped me to do that massively. Just the belief that you can do it.
Yeah.
That's all you need sometimes.
Seeing somebody else do it.
Why can't
I?
Why can't I do it? I'm just as good as what they are. I'm just as smart as what they are. And
your gardening business was successful.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, guys. There's people dumber than you doing better than you.
Yeah.
There just is.
Just because they believe in themselves.
Because they believe in themselves and they put the work in.
So
some of the smartest people that I grew up with are doing nothing with their lives because they don't believe they can.
Mindset.
Huge.
Mindset. How much time do you guys that are listening right now, how much time do you spend improving your mind? Because I could imagine that it's not much time.
Mm-hmm.
We spend so much time as humans thinking about how do we get fitter, how do we get healthier. We think about what we're eating, do you know what I mean? Whereas how much time and energy you think about what you're actually feeding into your mind. Like, that does have a huge impact.
So I just set up that business and then I doubled it every year, basically.
It did great.
Yeah, it did great. I started off cutting grass. I started off just doing hedge trimming and there's like little odd jobs and with my mum and dad's lawnmower and in the back of my little Citroen C1 and like like some little spades and tools in the back of a little car.
Remember.
So I didn't really start off with much, guys. Like, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't, you know, okay, I'm going to have £10,000 to invest in this business. And like, no, I started off with tools that were in the shed and my mum and dad's equipment. And I just went out and did it. And then I built it up, so I bought more tools and more tools and more tools and eventually got a van and then started doing bigger jobs and bigger jobs. And every time somebody would ask, oh, can you just do this? Like, I had no experience apart from college, and if anybody's been to college, it's not like the same as real world experience. It's just not. It can't be. So I didn't work for anybody else or anything like that. So people go, can you do this? Can you build this fence? I'm like, yeah, of course I can. Go home, Google,
YouTube,
wiki how to build a fence. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, the amount of times that I Googled how to do something and then just spoke to some people who've done it before and then figured it out.
I love that advice though. Say yes and then work out how to do it.
Yeah, say yes, believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course I can do that. And then you figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going to be
we've
perfect.
We've got a thing with biting off more that we can...
Yeah, we do, don't we?
But look at what it does, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that
forces you to grow.
Oh, 100%.
You know, forces you to
you've made
do
a
that.
Commitment to someone. You're like, yes, yeah, I can do that. And you're like, right, okay, now let's figure out how I'm actually going to do that.
Exactly.
I don't want to make myself look like a fool here.
Exactly.
You did so well.
I doubled it every year.
And then what was...
And as well, one thing about the business, what people might think, okay, yeah, the money was good at some points, but for the first like 18 months, I paid myself £200 a month out of the business.
People forget about this.
£50 a week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even joking. I had another job as well, so I was earning money with another job. Like, I paid myself £50 a week in order to
working
make the business
the
grow. Yeah, I was
bar,
working at a pub. Yeah, I worked at a bar, worked at a pub. You know, like, £50 a week's not much. It's not much money at all.
No.
I paid my staff, my labourers, more than that. So I paid people who worked for me £50 a day. Or £60 a day, I pay myself £50 a week.
Yeah.
You know, you have to think of these things, like, you have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
But then that made everything I've got, I invested back into the business so I could buy the next upgrade of the tool,
yeah.
A whacker plate, a cement mixer, you know, some steel hedge trimmers, like good quality gear that still I use today,
yeah.
Or I can use today. So it was worth it.
That's it. I wish you did use it in our garden. You know, Jack is a very good gardener, but he's too busy to do our gardening. We actually have a gardener, which is funny. But that's what happens, isn't it? I think you get so caught up in other things.
Well, it was never really a passion project. It was more of a way of making money.
Well, that
and surviving
moves on
and
to
living.
The next point, doesn't it, really? Because what point was it that you... chose that having your own business and doing the gardening, it's more doing the garden, isn't it, wasn't So gardening does that. It's more landscaping, wasn't it?
Yeah, by the end, it started off as gardening and then it went into landscaping.
You were doing, like, big jobs.
Yeah, driveways, patios, steps, walls.
Yeah.
Fences, tree removal, all sorts.
When was the point that you were like, or what was it that made you go,
I think it was after like the third winter, and I was like, no, I cannot carry on doing this, and just digging out in the winter and waking up at like 6 a.m. getting to the job and just being like, it's so cold. And it's hard work as well, like, it's hard work.
Physical grind.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's hard work. It's not easy work at all.
You were knackered, weren't you?
Just tired. Mm. And I couldn't train properly. I wasn't enjoying it as much anymore, because even, like, the money's better than what I'm on now as well.
Yeah.
I was earning more money 5 years ago than what I'm earning now.
Like,
that was, but yeah, this is way better, and I'd way prefer to be doing this, and I can make money on other bits that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was still doing that gardening, and I enjoy it a lot more. I actually, although I did make an impact on people, this is more visceral. I can see the impact I'm making on people, and I can have that impact every day, and it just, it's better for the soul, you know.
I get that. This is better. I think that this is more kind of like team growth, like now we get to work together and build.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas with that, there wasn't a line of how far you could go, but there kind of was, because you were doing it independently. Whereas now, kind of, I love that we're able to work together and be able to create something for our family. Do you know what I mean? Something that is...
And also we have more of an impact on people doing what we do now, because it's 100%. Not just the members.
Yeah.
It's also their families.
Yeah.
It's also the staff.
Yeah.
Everybody who works with us. You know, that all of us guys, like, we enjoy what we do, and we love what we do, and we get to, all of us together, have a positive impact. And that's just what it's about, making the world a better place. You know, while we're here, we do what we can to make it better.
Yeah.
So I think it's not all about money in life.
No.
You know, you can wake up, even people who've got the most money in the world wake up feeling sad and depressed because they're just not doing what they love, or they don't actually enjoy their life. That's no matter how much money they've got.
100%. Well, you look at some of these very rich, successful people, and a lot of them have suffered with very bad mental health issues and things like that. And I think that it does come back to, what is success? Because I personally believe success to be waking up in the morning and feeling happy and feeling grateful. Do you know what I mean? And that comes from... That don't come from money. Do you know what I mean? And if you think about it, I think of it when you're your childhood. Do you know what I mean? I don't remember the money my parents spent on me. I remember the experiences. I remember like going on walks with my family and playing and things like that.
Like, well, for me, it was like, say, with my, going back to my grandpa, is sitting down and talking.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's telling me jokes. We just talk. Like, that was it. I don't remember much else. Do you know what I mean? That wasn't important. The time that you spend with somebody is important, and that's what, like, people actually remember. So for kids, I don't think, for Valentina and for other kids that we'll have, it's important that we spend that time with them, talk with them, and be with them, take them to activities and other things. It's not, okay, make sure you've got the latest shoes.
No, definitely not. So much more. And it is, I think, that a really good thing that I recommend my clients to do when I'm doing the business coaching is to really get clear on what your definition of success is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I'm sorry, but... Because a lot of people, when I'll ask them, because I'll say, what are your goals? It's always to do with money. But when you dig deeper, it's not. You're like, what is it about money? Why do you want money? Oh, well, I want freedom. And why do you want freedom? Because I want to spend more time with my family. Ah, so that's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want money. You want to spend more time with your family. Because if you look at them two things, which makes you feel good? Like, even when I just said that out loud, me going, oh, yeah, I want to make lots of money, that doesn't make me feel as good as saying, I want to spend more time with my girl. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, one of them motivates me a hell of a lot more, and it's the second one. Do you know what I mean? So what's next? I think that's a really good thing. You've obviously been teaching.
Yeah, we've said that. This is just about me, isn't it? We were supposed to talk about martial arts, but this is my personal life.
And it is your personal life.
This is who I have.
I'm going to be calling this podcast like Get to Know Jack. Yeah. So I mean, so it's all about you. And when I did I've done other ones a couple of years ago with the team, it wasn't just about martial arts. Because I think martial arts is a huge part of who you are, but you wouldn't be who you are without all the other things.
I wanted
to give these guys listening like an insight into your journey.
Love it.
And your journey in martial arts didn't start when you were a kid. Do you know what I mean? No. But I think people listening are going to feel like they know you a lot more now, and they're going to feel more connected to you. And I think that was my purpose for wanting to do this interview with you today, because I think that it will allow people to understand you, your values, your beliefs and things like that more, which I think is important. But I think a good way for us to kind of wrap this up would be the future. Do you know what I mean? You've been on this incredible journey through... obviously developing your own business to coming on board with us and getting martial arts is grown in your life. You're obviously going down the competing route as well. You've been fighting. Obviously, you've now got a family. Do you know what I mean? Things like that. What's next? Do you know what I mean? What can we be looking forward to seeing you do in the next few years?
Well, I think the next few years, who knows? It changes year by year.
It does. But right now, what would you say that you're looking forward to, or any goals that you've got?
Multiple things. And I think things are going to take precedence over... certain things are going to take precedence over the others, depending on the time situation that you're in at the moment. I don't think you can do... I think you can do anything, but I don't think you can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So for me at this moment in time... I've got a lot of different things that I want to grow within my life.
Yeah.
That are personal, professional, team-based, myself. I like that I have to find the right balance. And my family as well, you know, like not forgetting that. You know, that we have to find the right balance between all of them. Next year, I really want to solidify the team...
Yeah.
That I've got under me coaching, like Bradley and Finlay, both of them guys, and the rest of the guys are going to be helping out with that, and really, like develop them to help them grow, and become almost mini versions of me. I know that's a bit big-headed, but I think I'm amazing. I am.
I think you're amazing too.
I'm absolutely amazing. I know I am 100%. I believe in myself with anything that I do.
Love
that. And I want those guys to feel that confidence within themselves and to share that with everybody else as well. Yeah. So I want them to be the leaders. Yeah, I want to develop them. I want to really help them. And I want to help everybody on our fight team, specifically just the fight team right now, chase their goals and chase their dreams.
Yeah.
and coach them in the best way that I can and give them the best opportunities that I can and just help them grow as people, as individuals, which is going to help them with martial arts as well. So I think, I can't remember where this quote's from, but I love it. I said, a good coach will change your game, but a great coach will change your life.
Mm.
I want to really do that for these guys, because I wish I had that as well when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, it can really help you. So
I just say that you are doing that? Do you know what I mean? You are 100% doing that. Like, them kids, they look up to you so, so much. Do you know what I mean? And I think that I feel so lucky and grateful that you are part of what we do. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that you coming on board, which was a risk for you. I mean, of course it was a risk when you came on board, but the impact that you've had, and I could not imagine it without you being leading that fight team, and you just, I don't know, you're incredible at it. You're an incredible coach.
Also helped build the clubs as well.
Oh,
that's 100%. One of the things, guys.
Nobody sees that.
Physically built a lot of the
literally,
clubs.
Literally, yeah, like, with your bare hands.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, built a lot of the stuff at Doncaster, the roof, the ceiling, the walls that are in there, the flooring, putting the mats down, helping out build,
everything.
You know, helping build out Selby, helping build out Fort Parch. We took it over, it was a concrete shell.
Literally.
You know, putting the carpet tiles down, taking up carpet tiles, building the wall that was there.
You've been part of it all. I think not even just, like, on the mats, not even just physically doing building work, but also helping me.
We used to run adverts with you.
Yeah.
We used to do loads of adverts together. We used to be messaging people.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. It was me and you on the messenger apps, getting booking people in and creating new adverts and getting the business out there. Like, we've done a lot.
I think a lot of the time people kind of say to me, they're like, wow, like, it's so amazing what you've built. And I'm like, it's not me. Do you know what I mean? It's not me at all, because without you and without my family and without everything else, there's no way, God, I would have given up years ago. 100%. Do you know what I mean? So for me, thank you. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think you understand, like, the impact that not only that you have on the students and the fight team and the coaches, but like the impact you've had on me and my family. Do you know what I mean? Supporting and being there and giving me a kick up the arse when I need it and helping me believe in myself to be able to keep going. Do you know what I mean? It's such a wider thing, the impact that you've had. I don't want to make your head too big, so I better.
There's no danger of that. There's no danger. I don't believe that it could inflate more than it already has. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I fully believe in myself, and I'm confident that I can do anything in this world. Like, if I really, really put my mind to it, I know I can do anything, and I know that we can do that together. Why not build the biggest martial arts business ever in the world?
Why not?
Do you know what I mean? Why not? We can.
We're on our way.
Yeah, why not? We can do anything we want, and it's just about whether we choose to do it or whether we choose to not do it. Like, I fully believe I could be a professional fighter, world champion, if I choose to do it. If I choose to dedicate my time, I can do that.
Of course you can.
I could choose to be a chess player. If I dedicate my time and I want to do that, I can do that. But it's just about deciding. You have to make a decision. What do I actually want in my life? What do I want to do? And that changes as well. So at one point in my martial arts journey, that was my goal. Professional. Do this. Just fully focused. Train. And that's one of the reasons why I took this job as well with you. So that I did, you know, my 25 hours or 28 hours, whatever it was, teaching. And the rest of the time was training. I'm training all the time, training all the time. And I loved it. And I wouldn't mind doing it again. I really enjoy it. I really, really like having that discipline and structure and that lofty, high ambitious goal to go for, that's really difficult to achieve. And you have to sacrifice a lot to make it happen. And that's great. And I think that's really important. And to be able to have those things as a young man and a young woman, that I think it's really important to go for stuff that's difficult. Don't just settle for the easy.
No.
Don't just be like, oh, okay, well, I could definitely do that, so I'll just settle for that.
Like, people go for security, don't they?
Let's push ourselves, because that's where you find the growth, and the growth's on the journey. You know what I mean? The challenge is on the journey. So there's a lot of journeys to take. There's, you know, which one do you want to do?
It's all about choices.
It's all about choices.
And the beauty is that you can have a go at a few different things as well. I think 100%. People worry because they start going down the path. Do you know what I mean? That they can't turn back and try something else. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's even like when you look at some really successful people, they built what they have now in that, like, their late 40s, their 50s. Do you know what I mean?
It's never too late to start.
Never too late to start.
And like, let's say, for instance, if I really wanted to, I could go set up my gardening business, landscaping business. I'd probably do a lot better at it because I know more.
Yeah.
Like, it's, just because I left it doesn't mean that I could never go back. And like, just because you leave something on the side doesn't mean you can never do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, like, let's say if I wouldn't do this because I just love it, but let's say if I quit martial arts now and decided to become a swimmer, you know, I know, ridiculous, but yeah, I decided to become a swimmer.
Hey,
I could always go back to doing martial arts, and that's what I could do. But it's just about making that choice and deciding what you want in your life. So as for the future, I want a big family. I want a big family, you know.
How many kids is it at now? Jack changes his mind all the time.
Well, we've settled on 4 at the moment because
that
seems
three.
That was an acceptable number for you, 4.
4.
But really, I want to do like an Elon Musk and just repopulate the entire world. You know?
Oh my God!
You know, lucky girl.
This is why I've got to remind Jack that I'm not a factory. that unfortunately it takes a little bit more. Effort from myself, from that point of view.
But no,
a big family.
I want martial arts for you. I want martial arts to even taking our business out of it. I want martial arts to be spread to as many people as possible in this world and just benefit as many people as possible, because it's huge. Kind of saved my life.
Yeah. It really did. So I wanna give that to the rest of the people who need it.
Definitely.
And they, obviously the only way they know that is if they're going to be aware of it and do it.
Yeah.
And that means more schools, not just our schools, good martial artist schools all around the place.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Like, yeah. This is something that I've definitely got better at. Before, I definitely wasn't as mature in my mindset. But now, like, when I see people opening up schools, like, that makes me happy. Like, yeah, I feel so happy that more people are going to be impacted by martial arts. I love
100%.
It. I'm like, do more. I'll help you. I'll give you out corner. I don't care. I have abundance. Do you know what I mean? To the fact
there's so many people in this world. Like, and when people have that scarcity mindset of, okay, there's only a finite amount of
resources.
They're
going to take my members.
There's only a finite amount of people. That's just a poverty mindset. You know, that's thinking there's not enough. There's not enough to go around. There's more than enough to go around.
Yeah.
Look at the planet. Like, there's more than enough people, food, water, everything. There's abundance. Life's never been better on this earth.
That's true.
There's never been less war, less death, less childhood mortality. There's more education around the world. Technology's improving.
Healthcare,
like, everything is improving, and life's getting better and better. And I think martial arts is one of those things that people can use as a tool to improve their life, and I want to spread that and make as many people as enjoy it as much as I do.
Love that.
So we're on a mission, aren't we?
We're on a mission. We're changing the world.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Any wise words to finish, to wrap this up? Any final comments or anything you want people to know about you or your journey or just any knowledge that you have? Put you on the spot now.
Any wise words?
You're going to have to make
it. I think all my words are wise.
The wisest words.
The wisest words. I have to pick out some spectacular vocabulary from my incredible vernacular. A wide array and display of poetic artistry. No, any wise words? Just listen to the podcast again, guys. Plenty of wise words in there.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there's anything in particular. There's not one thing that I would want to stress to people. Do this, don't do this, because everyone's different. Everyone's got their own path in life.
I think that's perfect.
You know what I mean? You've got to figure it out. Yeah. You've got to figure it out for yourself. What's right for you might not be right for your mum and dad, because you might want to be a professional boxer and your mum and dad say, hell no, you're never going to do that. You need to get a safe job.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to be a ballerina and they go, a bit difficult, you should be a teacher instead. People are always going to try and, like, crush your dreams. Not in a really, really... They're trying to crush your dreams because they hate you. They actually love you, and that's worse. They love you so much that they want you to play it safe, and they want you to not do the things that you actually really want to do in life. Part of that also comes from the fact they didn't do what they actually really wanted to do in life, so they're trying to make themselves feel better by dampening that dream for you. This is so true of the people that are closer to you as opposed to the people that are not as close. So follow your heart, do what you want to do, and get great people around you that are going to help you do what you want to do, and take risks and go for it. Because even if you lose it all, like my grandpa, he took risks, he built massive businesses. Like they said, this housing company built entire streets and cul-de-sacs and all sorts. They lost it all. Gambled. I don't mean gambled like roulette. I mean gambled like he'd set up another business using that money. Supermarkets. He was like, okay, I'm going to do supermarkets. Didn't work.
Mm.
He had so much going for him, but he took a risk and he went for it. And there's so much that can be learned from that and learn from your failures. But you're never going to fail if you don't try. So just go for it, guys. That's all I want to say is my final words of wisdom.
I love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think these guys are going to really love getting to know you a little bit more. So thank you, guys. And I'm sure that, I know that I'd love feedback about the podcast so far. I'm sure you would like feedback too. If there's anything in particular that you would like to hear us talk about and stuff, please let us know. And have a great rest of your day.
Enjoy.